Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 444. Science Faction, all fours.
I have missed that Mrs. Doubtfire-esque voice and introduction. Exactly. You know what, Bobby? You were ready to take custody of your kids through a series of outlandish deceptions.
Yes. Where I, like, you could argue break and enter into a home or commit some form of fraud that would be, like, very seriously looked down upon by divorce courts in order to weasel my way in. My problem is, unlike you, Damien, I do not have the voice spectrum to pull this off. You are the one with all of, like, the different voice talents. I can't do that, and so I would just constantly be saying hello over and over. Like, that was the only dialogue I could have.
Hello, it is me, your new nanny, and I am here to take care of children. I am Middle Eastern nanny. And I know that you have suffered a divorce where you took the children away from their father, you bitch.
Hello. Oh, sorry, that was Christopher Walken. Damn it, I messed up the one word.
Did you hide the children in your ass, Mr. Walken?
I have a long and detailed story about those children.
I had my bitch ex-wife was going to find the kids. Turn into Travolta there.
And speaking of everybody's bitch ex-wife, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great, but I think you're bearing the lead here. I think fans want to know what's up with Bladdergate 2020.
Oh, that's right. So if you guys hadn't listened to last week's Monday episode, I detailed some, opportunities for pain management that I have stumbled into over the past few weeks. And they have continued to be interesting. I had to get a few more procedures and a few more what's and nots. I also love, though, I love anytime this happens where in a, especially like a healthcare setting where I was then going back to follow-up appointments, right? Like I had to go get follow-up x-rays and stuff. For those of you guys who didn't hear, I had some pretty horrible genital trauma done.
It wasn't that bad. Like, if you listen to last episode, yeah, you can hear baby crying about his bladder, yeah, and how he had to go potty really bad. But I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. And the whole surgery without any anesthetic and outside of an OR and a doctor's office and the urine and blood that spewed forth, all that good stuff. So I went back, you know, to get some, you have to get some follow-up stuff, you have to get some x-rays, you have to get some different tests done and all this stuff, because eventually they have to do a surgery to fix this thing and to take out this tube that's sticking out of my stomach. And so I went back to go get some of that stuff. And it's always this great feeling when you talk to other physicians and you come in and you explain to them, like, oh man, this is what happened. And they give you that nod, like, yeah, sure, I'm sure it was really bad. But then they do whatever they're doing, in this case, like x-rays or examinations, and they just look up and go, oh my God, you weren't kidding. Like, I've never seen it this bad before.
Let's talk about that condescending attitude you had a minute ago, doctor, because I think, yeah, I think this is a time for growth. All right, so yeah, when I come in, I'm not bragging about pain. I'm complaining about your fucking profession, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But good news, very good news, which was they had originally told me that the surgery, which would fix all of this stuff, would be about the fourth week of June, which from when they told me would be about 5 weeks. And again, I have a tube sticking out of my stomach, and I have a toddler that doesn't understand he's not allowed to grab things and yank them out. So, like, it's been a very stressful little bit, and it's also very, very painful. Hard to get up, hard to walk around, can barely move, all that kind of stuff. And so I desperately want this tube out. And I heard like 5 weeks and I was like, you motherfuckers, you goddamn motherfuckers. But thankfully, I had a primary care physician who advocated for me and got them to bump it up. So I will be getting my surgery, assuming that I pass my corona test, I will be getting my surgery on Tuesday.
Excellent. And I sincerely hope that you aren't one of the 10,000 people every year who is tricked into a surgery, arguably unnecessary like yours, uh-huh, and wakes up to find themselves in a human centipede. Literally, tens of thousands of people every year.
In one centipede? Or is that in multiple centipedes spread across?
A centipede grows. It's a kaiju now. It will fight Godzilla. Yeah.
It's like Hands Across America, but without hands.
No, they wish they had hands. They wish they were, yeah, using hands.
Yeah, yeah, that's an ugly thing. But as such, I must let all of our listeners know that I've been plugging Nerd Night and hoping all of you guys come and check it out. But it turns out that my surgery got bumped up to fall on Nerd Night, and I will not be attending this one. So this is the first Nerd Night in a few years that I will not be there hosting. I'm very, very sad about it, but I think I got a pretty good excuse.
Is it possible that we could have two Damians on top of each other's shoulders and with a trench coat on, and we can pretend to be Bobby? Never mind the fact that I physically have more mass than you.
Yes, I think that might work.
Hello, it's me, Bobby. Hello. Welcome to Science Faction. Welcome to Nerd Night.
So sorry to all you fans who wanted to see Nerd Night out there. Please just go ahead and wait for July's. I'll be back. I'll be excited. I'll be, you know, psyched to be among the living. And at that point, moving around with all of my surgery stuff out, I'll be very excited about all that. I'm very, very sorry about that. And I'd also like to send a huge thanks. I got, like, I think this week was the only time that I got more emails about something other than Damien's performance on I Call BS. Because normally, as you guys know, 4 to 5 dozen emails a day about Damien's performance in I Call BS. And then a couple of emails sprinkled throughout the week saying, hey, you guys do a good job. I really appreciate the show. Thank you so much. Just watch all the episodes, all that kind of stuff.
We got to put a Patreon because if we have this type of fan energy, we could monetize this.
I'll tell you what, I thought the same thing, but the problem was a lot of the emails start with, if you start a Patreon, I hate Damien's performance and I Call BS so much, I will actually take money out of it. Like, I will remove money from your Patreon.
Okay, well,
which I didn't know you could do, but
clearly, I've always been the samurai of this show. From day one, we've talked about how I have been the Japanese nobleman and samurai.
You mispronounced salami.
Yes, I have been the best salami and pastrami, if need be, too. So because of my tradition and my culture, I recognize that I am preventing a Patreon. I am preventing the show from moving forward. I will, on air, at the end of this show, I don't have a samurai sword on me, but I will jam a kitchen knife into my gut and drag it across, and then I will have one of my dogs finish the act by gnawing off my head.
Which arguably would be more painful. Yes, but thanks to everybody who sent those emails wishing me well and after hearing about my surgery and all the stuff that went on. It was an interesting flood of just like really good vibes and good feelings, which was great to feel when you are trapped in your house in constant pain, unable to go anywhere, and just kind of hurting in general. It feels really nice to get a bunch of nice emails from fans from, by the way, around the world, including, you know, super fan Dwayne. A bunch of people sent really, really nice messages and emails, so thank you guys. Even if I didn't get back to you, know that it's just because I only have a limited amount of time where I'm even awake during the day at this point and can barely function, and I'm incredibly slow at what I'm doing. So please just know I read those and they made a big difference. Thank you very, very much.
Bobby hasn't had the time to dedicate to searching for pictures of genitals, especially penises. Like he said, he's only awake a certain amount of time. He doesn't even have time to get back to all his emails. So if when you're emailing Bobby to check up on him, just let him know you care. Send him a picture of a penis. Doesn't even have to be your penis. It could just be a penis you admire.
Or like half of a Saiga's face.
That one is also acceptable. Or you can just be a real man and show him the whole Saiga face.
All right, let's get right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, article number one, how the world died and might die again.
Is this the second wave? Like, is this the second wave of global warming?
Oh, of corona? Oh, okay. Actually, you know what, Damien? You're actually kind of close.
I am a fucking scientist. When will you give me an honorary degree?
You study ways to lose, I Call BS. This is one of those articles I tell you about that's monumentally important, but not at all covered by anybody in the media, even science-specific media. There's only a few articles about this. It's an incredibly important article, and everybody should know about it. I think it's bigger than corona, racism, and the economy put together right now. So if that gives you a little bit of an idea of how big it is.
That's pretty big. That's like next Avengers movie level big.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's not like one of those YouTube or SoundCloud rapping couples. It's like a straight up Brangelina.
Holy shit. This is going to be a very sexy story that exists sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s. Can't wait.
Well, 360 million years ago, close enough. Right, well, anyway, let's get into it.
I liked Jennifer Aniston better.
So let's talk about extinctions. Some of you may know that we have 5 main extinction events that we know of in Earth's history. Arguably, some people argue that we are currently in the 6th one caused by humans. We know the one at the KT boundary, the one that killed the dinosaurs. We all know that was caused by a big asteroid impact off the coast of the Yucatan. Before then, the other 4 big extinction events we think happened for a variety of reasons. Some might be volcanism, meaning volcanoes spewing out a bunch of stuff. We actually think that's responsible for most of them.
Oh, I thought you were referring to a more violent time in the now peaceful race's history. The Vulcans, yeah, they're peaceful now, but yeah, they caused some extinction right. events in their past, you know?
One of them, the Permian, we think was actually caused by a little creature called a methanogen, which produces methane, and they basically caused a greenhouse gas effect similar to the one that we're causing now and killed a bunch of stuff in the Permian. So there's a bunch of different extinctions throughout time, but one of them, the Devonian extinction, happened 360 million years ago. And we now think that what caused that is something completely different than volcanism, methanogens, asteroids, something very different and something completely terrifying if you live on the world right now. So according to this paper, what researchers now think caused the Devonian extinction
was socialism.
Well, not exactly. So what we think happened is, to give you guys a little bit of a background, 360 million years ago, we had this big extinction event called the Devonian extinction. It took out a bunch of different animal types. Basically, back then, we didn't just have the fish that we know now. We have those bony fish, right? Regular bony fish, and then the cartilage sharks. So sharks don't have a skeleton inside. They have cartilage on the outside, and then there are bony fish. But back in that time, there was another giant group of fish called armored fish that's like had these like tank-like bodies. The Devonian killed them off completely. Back then, there were different types of tetrapods. Tetrapods are four-legged animals, basically all the animals you know. It doesn't matter if you're a dog or a human or a pig. All of those basically go back to a tetrapod body set. Even birds were originally from tetrapod stock, and which is why they have like the same five fingers and everything like that.
Really? I thought they came from dinosaurs.
Yeah, which were tetrapods.
Wow. Okay.
But all the way back in the Devonian, there were tetrapods that had a whole bunch of different numbers of phalanges or fingers. So think about it. We have five fingers, right? But it's not just us. Go look at monkeys. They have five fingers. But go to pigs, dogs, horses. They all have the same five phalanges. They could be in different shapes and sizes. Some get longer or shorter.
Sloths.
But they have the same. Yeah. Even whales. If you look at a x-ray of a whale's fin, it's got five fingers, right? It's because the five-phalanged tetrapod was the one lineage that survived. But before the Devonian, there were a bunch of them.
So for the two- and three-toed sloth...
Yeah, that's just what pops out at the very edge. They still have five phalanges in their actual skeletal structure.
Gotcha. In their flipper, they have a...
Exactly. But before the Devonian extinction, tetrapods had sometimes seven, eight, nine. They had some of them had a lot more fingers, but all those other groups died off. So this killing, this extinction event led to the oceans that we currently know with bony fish and sharks. It led to all the land animals we currently know with the five-phalange tetrapods. Basically, the entire history of the Earth as we know it, the biological history, was very strongly shaped by this one extinction. And researchers think that they have found out what caused it. And here is why this is scary, and here's why this is important, and here's why this is something that everybody should know or be talking about. They think that this die-off, this massive worldwide extinction, was due to super high levels of UV radiation. Well, there were a few scientists from Alabama University who did put that idea forward.
Wow, man. You just being the best reader in a state can earn you an honorary science degree, which is why I am now a scientist in the state of Alabama, yes. Which means that the rules where I call BS are about to change.
I think if you've taken a CPR class, you're technically a physician in Alabama.
I've said multiple times, I'm a loser here in California, but I could be fucking governor of Alabama tomorrow.
Not just, you could be the governor from The Walking Dead in Alabama, and nobody would stop you.
Except for Rick.
So we think that this die-off was caused by super high levels of UV radiation that collapsed basically entire forest ecosystems, destroyed the plants, destroyed the animals, everything. It completely obliterated both those armored fish we talked about and other land-dwelling tetrapods, and it completely changed the world. So you might say, okay, well, why is that so scary? Because they think the reason that this UV radiation was all of a sudden way higher than it had ever been is that the ozone layer essentially collapsed for 1,000 years because the world got too hot. So basically, we were coming out of an ice age at that point. The world was heating up. We think it got so hot that what happens when it gets really, really hot is...
You have to adjust your pants.
Yeah, everybody's wearing wife beaters. They're taking things real casual.
You got to put your friend under the belt line, if you know what I mean. Otherwise, I mean, you could just sport it out in public loud and proud.
Yeah, you know when the Devonian extinction is coming up and the ozone layer collapses and it gets really hot out, so everybody switches to like boxer briefs or briefs to keep their balls from sticking to their leg. That's what caused this extinction, because we all know that they restrict sperm, and so you're less likely to have children.
It's a survival thing at this point.
So what happens is, as things get hotter, there are natural chemicals that essentially destroy ozone that are lower to the ground. But as things get warmer, those chemicals get taken into the upper atmosphere and they basically dissolve the ozone layer. And so what happened there is, as this runaway warming event started happening, more and more of these chemicals got pushed up into the upper ozone, dissolved the ozone, and eventually the ozone broke down for a few thousand years, bombarding the Earth with UV radiation that essentially killed all the land animals, or the vast majority of them, and a lot of the shallow sea fish. It was monstrous. It destroyed a huge portion of the Earth's biota. That's really terrifying, because we are warming the planet now at times that have not been seen since the Devonian in some cases. And if things keep getting warmer, we might be risking the same thing. We've talked about climate change and global warming for such a long time in terms of sea level rise and temperature rise and storm increases and what it's going to do to people who are living away from water and fish stocks and animals and all that stuff. But we haven't discussed the fact that it actually might damage the planet itself, the ozone layer itself, so bad that it makes the planet inhospitable. Because remember, we are bombarded by cosmic rays. We talked the other week about how we have the Earth's magnetic field that protects us from a lot of those cosmic rays, but so does the ozone layer. And without those two things, we are screwed. And so if all of a sudden we had another one of these runaway events where enough heat caused enough ozone depletion that it went away, we would essentially all be irradiated. And even if you had some kind of, you're like, I got a bunker, I'm going to jump in there, I'm not going to be outside in the radiation, we got special radiation umbrellas, it doesn't matter, because the ecosystem collapses. The crops die off, the animals die off. There's no situation in which we lose that protection and everybody is fine. So this is a really terrifying discovery in a lot of ways.
It looks like we can survive just based on the data from the article you sent me in front of me. And what you're saying is, if we go to an undersea Sea Lab 2020-esque environment where we dine on orca and live beneath the armored fish.
I actually, first of all, the armored fish are dead. I think the orca would die too, because they're essentially shallow water. They have to go up to the surface a lot. I think they would get a lot of radiation. And they would die out as well. You would have to live off some deep sea fish, like some of those, like those weird ones.
How deep? How deep are we talking? Like what?
Light permeates at least like 20 meters or so. I don't know how much that electromagnetic radiation goes, but I'd imagine it's around the same. So I'd say you'd have to go at least deeper than that to be pretty safe.
Yeah, you're fucked then. I'm not eating angler fish.
Yeah, or that weird blob fish that looks like a caricature of like an old comedian.
It looks like a 1920s fat comic. I expect it to have a cigar in its mouth. We used to be able to hit women in my day.
So you might say, wow, that's terrifying. But how did they make this discovery? What did they figure out, or what did they find that all of a sudden changed what they knew about this extinction that happened 360 million years ago? This is a really interesting study. They went and they gathered rock samples from that time period from all around the world. We're talking Greenland to South America, all around the world. And within them, those rock samples, they found fern pollen encased within that rock. So if you think about it, rock is laid down, usually in sediment layers, and with that sediment layer is stuff floating around in the air around you, including pollen. So we know what fern pollen is supposed to look like. And when we look at fern pollen from this period, they have these weird spikes and these odd growths that we know are essentially the result of severe genetic damage, indicating that they were bombarded by some kind of radiation, most likely UV rays, which were then supported by something really interesting, which is that a bunch of them also showed dark pigmentation on one side as if they were tanned. And that is something we don't see in specimens not exposed to high UV radiation.
Well, the tanning part sounds kind of sexy, but yeah, I mean, so wait, they had spikes, they got superpowers. So what you're saying, like,
yeah, I guess it is kind of a superpower. I mean, I don't know if it's like Reed Richards or anything, but yeah, it's on the way.
A spiky growth man. It just it he has the incredible power to make his life incredibly painful and awkward.
I think in like the early 2000s, the X-Men did have a dude whose entire power was that like bones spiked out of his back.
You're talking about Marrow, and that was a lady. So that's how you're sexist. The X-Men was the mom, Bobby. The X-Men was the mom.
Anyway, this is a super, super interesting, really interesting feat of science. It's worldwide. It involves finding rocks and looking inside those rocks to see what pollen samples were doing 360 million years ago and interpret that data. All very interesting, but on the other hand, fucking terrifying, because it says it means that we could realistically be looking down the barrel of a major mass extinction event if we let global temperatures get too high.
You know, and the wheel of how mankind goes, I didn't have that. I didn't. That wasn't the square I picked.
What did you pick, Damien? What was your how mankind goes extinct?
Runaway HPV.
But I mean, everybody pretty much has HPV, so like, isn't it runaway?
Yeah, and it mutated. So that's first off, I'm doing my best to make sure everybody gets HPV because our numbers, you know, it's kind of like vaccines, you know, like. Yeah, a lot of people have HPV, but we want to saturate at 100%, right?
I disagree, but okay.
And everybody needs HPV, Bobby.
If
you're going to be killing it, show me a boy that does not have HPV, and I'll show you a sad, lonely incel.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the whole cervical cancer thing, yeah, we could probably get rid of it.
Well, I'm willing to sacrifice my cervix to get laid so that other youngsters know how great consensual sex is. But anyhow, yeah, just as the Spanish flu evolved, turned on a dime and became a lot more deadly, I predicted mankind would go once HPV, once it saturated the population, it would do a heel turn.
And all of a sudden, then it kills everybody? Is that the idea?
Yeah, but it does it in like a horny way. You're like a horny zombie.
Okay. But I think you would breed more. See, I would think if something made you unhorny, like, so... We talked before on this show about your love for Bruce Valanche, and what if the key to stopping mankind is just emailing photos of Bruce Valanche to every sexually active man and woman on Earth, so they open it and they look at it and they're like, I don't even know why I'm doing this whole sex thing. Like, I am just done. Like, I'm done for the rest of my life. I don't need it anymore. And then we just allow ourselves to die out.
Yeah, like everybody becomes really interested in sitcom comedy writing and nobody wants to fuck anymore because they all look like Bruce Valanche. That sounds like more like a supervillain mind control thing than anything else.
Or what if like just like the sex robots, you know how like sex robots are getting big? What if like sex robots replace women and then we stop having kids and then boom, species dies out?
That's actually how I'm giving a lot of people HPV. Do you realize how hard it is to find a robot and infect it with the virus?
That's your advertisement? That's your tagline? Like, come to Damien's Sex Robots now with HPV. Makes it feel more real.
Well, I say, come in Damien's Sex Robots now with HPV. It's just a little word. It's not on.
I see.
By the way, the part they never talk about sex robots, and this is a real, like, nobody ever talks about how you'd have to hose them out. All the time.
I think people do talk about them. I think they have like special valves and like
the cum valve, like kind of like how a saxophone has like a spit valve.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A robot has a cum valve. Yeah. By the way, I don't care how many times you've power washed the inside of that robot.
Yeah.
There's still cum inside of that.
I don't know. I mean, I think you could probably get it out. That's probably fine. I don't know that you'd want to share them, but like you could have your own. It'd be fine.
It's your cum.
Well, other than the extinction of the human race by viral HPV or sex robot proliferation or Bruce Valanche picture distribution, this may be the way we end up going. Very, very terrifying and just one more incentive to stop heating the world. All right. Article number two, a new type of big space explosion discovered.
We call it the Michael Bay. And usually you'll see like an asteroid slowly flying away from the explosion as it's smoking a cigarette.
It's better than the John Woo where as the asteroid's going, there's just doves sporadically flying in the background.
I'm picturing the dove with like a space helmet on somehow, but its body, you can't encumber the wings.
Meanwhile, there's a bunch of annoying ass hipsters sitting in the movie theater next to you going, it's symbolism.
Shut the fuck up. This movie won't hold up in 10 years. All of you are fucking lame. This movie won't hold up. John Woo has ruined enough movies. Gay cowboys will be the best thing that guy does.
So most of you are familiar with the idea of a supernova, when a star explodes. We've talked about them a bunch. It's one of the most energetic things that happen in this universe. Stars will actually explode, and they send their components out. In fact, some of the elements that make up our own bodies, including carbon and stuff, were formed as these stars were exploding with tremendous amounts of energy and shooting that carbon all around the universe that later coalesced and formed us. So supernovas have been part of our knowledge of how space works for a very long time. We've also discussed a little bit less often gamma ray bursts. We talked about how gamma ray bursts could be responsible actually at one point for one of the major mass extinctions. Gamma ray bursts themselves are basically a star that's in its dying phase that, because of the way it dies, ends up having what they call an engine or an accretion disk around it, in which it shoots off a tremendous amount of energy as gamma rays. And if it ever, you know, hit the Earth, if one that was close enough to us hit the Earth, it could wipe out all the life on the side of the Earth that's facing that gamma ray burst. So very, very scary stuff.
It just hit Florida. Yeah. I mean, this could have been a lot worse, just everybody. Net positive.
Yeah, just a narrow little beam. Like, if you just eradicated all of Florida, people would be like, well, I guess I missed Disney World.
The manatees, they didn't deserve this. The manatees were pretty nice.
And we've even talked about some other type of large space explosions. For instance, when we discussed LIGO, that gravity wave detector, we talked about how we believe that the LIGO was detecting possibly two black holes colliding into one another. So that's another type of giant space explosion that we have noted before. However, researchers have published this week on a very, very interesting phenomenon they observed, which is a new type of explosion that we had not seen before. I wish we were still in a time period where we could have our scientists in here, because I would love to talk to Dr. Nick about this.
Excuse me, Alabama scientist.
Oh, yes.
Right here.
Sorry. Literate scientist.
I'm working on that. I'll let you know once I can. I'm sorry, a lot of these computer instructions are written in English and not hee-haw.
Not banjo. The preferred audio communication of Alabama academics. Hey, have you heard of my new paper? No, let me hear it. But a dun 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 da. Interesting.
I'd go back and check your grammar again, because I think there were a couple mistakes in there. But overall, I think you got a good thesis brewing.
So this data comes from 2018, where they saw a specific event that they labeled AT2018 COW, also known as the COW, which, by the way, astronomers, stop naming huge celestial events as if they are drive time radio DJs, because the COW is not inspiring the awe and majesty of a never before seen celestial event of huge magnitude. It just seems like somebody who's going to tell us, like, the daily dish on whatever a celebrity has done that weekend.
Well, the lead scientist was either John Cow, Ronald the Butt, or Steve the Gooch. So the Cow was probably the least morning DJ zoo crew we could go.
So what is this thing, and why is it so different from anything we've seen before? Initially, it looked just like a supernova, except it had a stronger initial brightness. It was way brighter at the beginning. It was blue shifted, and it faded away in only a few days. So we saw like an extreme amount of energy in a short amount of time. So they went back and looked into the data. As we've talked about before, we have a lot of automated telescopes that basically record stuff around Earth. And so they can go back and see, can we find anything else that looks kind of like this that we hadn't noticed before? And they were able to notice two more explosions, one in 2016 and one in 2018. The one in 2016, they gave like a normal, like complicated letter name to, and that was about 500 million light years away.
It wasn't discovered by a morning DJ.
Well, I think the other one was, because the other one in 2018 was nicknamed the Koala. Hey, it's Cow and Koala over here. It's 8:05 a.m. Yeah. Traffic is jammed up on the 5 South, but come on out tonight to Zany's Comedy, where we have Jay Moore in town. Back to you, Koala.
I had it pictured as an Australian news crew. All right, well, thanks for down under, Digger Rogobo. Melbourne's premier morning zoo crew.
It's Koala and the Cow.
I used to be Prime Minister of Australia. Now I've graduated to the second most prestigious job in Australia. Morning Zoo Crew DJ.
To be fair, you were a doctor in Alabama for a few years.
Listen, I don't like to challenge myself. I like to go where experts are in short supply.
The koala occurred in a galaxy about 3.4 billion light years away. So we're talking about things that are substantially farther away from us. They're outside of our own galaxies. Follow-up research on those two explosions found that not only did we see that same pattern of incredibly bright initially and lasting a much shorter time, but they had ejected way more material than was expected into interstellar space at half the speed of light. So something interesting is going on here. Researchers were saying this was so weird that when we were looking at the data, we didn't understand it. It took 2 years to even interpret the data and realize what might be going on because it was so bizarre and we hadn't seen anything like it before.
Did they have archaeologists looking over the...
No, that shit would have gotten solved quickly.
God damn it. You take my burn. Don't reverse it.
I'm the archaeological burn judo master. I just flip around. I use your energy, flip it back around.
Yeah, you got me in a science armbar right now. I shouldn't have thrown that punch.
So they named this phenomenon fast blue optical transients, which, by the way, is abbreviated FBOTS, which to me sounds a lot like fuckbots, which was interesting because we were just talking about fuckbots.
Yeah, listen, you have to clean out the inside of your FBOTS. Yes. I cannot stress this enough. You will notice an odor coming from your FBOT.
It's not just water. You need some vinegar and you know, some decent cleaning agents in there too.
Here's how I know semen will smell if left unattended. When I was like 18 or 19 and still living at home, I invited a girl over. And my mom ended up coming home, and so like I had so we quickly got dressed again. I was able to finish, don't get me wrong, and I took the condom off. Don't worry, I'm a champ like that. Being young and experienced helped, but like quickly, I had a trash can right to the side of the bed. I was like, well, I'll get this later, and I threw it in the trash can. Well, I didn't. I forgot, and like 3 days later, I noticed a horrific smell coming from that trash can and a lot of ants because ants are gay.
Why you listen to Koala and the Cow in the morning?
We are the Morning Zoo crew of comedy science podcasts, which I don't like.
So what might be causing these F-bots? Well, they think it might be similar to regular supernovas, but beforehand, the star sheds a thick material, almost like a shell. So think of the star kind of excreting a shell around it. And then as the supernova explodes, it strikes that shell. The energy itself, the blast wave, strikes that shell, which creates this huge, fast, and incredibly bright blue blast and a strong radio emission. So basically, because it creates the shell, as the explosion comes and hits it, it gets stopped for a second, then magnified and bursts out. And that's why we see this big blue flash. That's why it doesn't last as long. And that's also why it ejects all this material into space so fast. It's because it essentially has a shell of material around it, like a fragmentation grenade as the supernova goes off. So really interesting. And you might say, why did it take so long to find it? Why have we not observed this before?
Archaeologists were in charge.
That's, well, they're the ones who probably first found it. I mean, I'm going to guess.
They came in for 2 days and solved it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was like an Indiana Jones thing. He comes in, there's a bunch of nerds and like lab coats looking at telescopes. And then he just like looks over and he goes, F-bots.
Now we're talking. F-bots. Yeah. This just became a NASA meeting. I thought you were just going to like, he just whipped the equation and then like it, the proper formula.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the way they originally discovered it is he did use his whip to like whip the eyepiece of a telescope that a nerd was looking through and just yank it to change the orientation of the telescope. That's how they found it.
I like it even better. Like he walks in, he goes, we don't need you. We actually have a lead researcher, and the lead researcher is doing a bunch of science stuff with like beakers.
Yeah, you know, nothing to do with astronomy.
They just pulls out a gun and shoots him.
I heard that right beforehand. The lead researcher said, turned to Indy and said, I love you. And he just responded, I know. Yes. Actually, a Star Wars crossover reference.
Yeah, I was about to say, Indy Solo. I remember that character. Big one in my childhood.
So we're not 100% sure why we haven't observed these before. However, researchers noted that these stars were all found to be in really rare dwarf galaxies. And there's this belief that the peculiar nature of dwarf galaxies might allow stars, specifically stars going through supernova, to behave in really weird ways. So this might be a weird product of certain types of stars within dwarf galaxies.
I love it. No matter how many times you berate me on the show, I know that you can't say dwarf.
I just said it. Dwarf.
He fixed that in post, by the way. He went back, found a recording of somebody online that sounds close enough to Bobby's voice, and he put that in.
Well, one of the reasons that they could tell that this was a dwarf galaxy is it kept going fishing.
Because it's Tim Conway, right? Yeah, he played the dwarf. You know, anybody born after 1990 will get none of the references that happened on this show. Good God. Dwarf goes fishing. Dwarf goes golfing.
For those of you guys who don't know anything about Dwarf, just imagine the Ernest movies, but with a shorter person.
And also no dialogue. Like, you know, say what you want about him and Vern. They talked. They had to write dialogue. Somebody had to sit down and say, how does Ernest get out of this mess?
Ernest, calm down. You're not Alabama's top doctor anymore. You're a movie star now.
Alabama's top movie star. Hey, Vern!
Oh, dear. So what can we expect following up? We need more detailed observations, more work, predictive modeling. Now that we know these exist, we can actually start anticipating them and looking at dwarf galaxies that are about to have supernovas and trying to observe whether or not we can actually see the lead-ups to this, and that'll help us figure out exactly what's going on. There's a lot of very interesting follow-up research, but this is really neat because we've known about supernovas for a long time. We've known about gamma ray bursts. We've known about black holes colliding. But this is new and interesting and really cool. And someday this will be in your kids' astronomy textbooks about the different things that go on in the universe. Like, I still remember learning about supernovas from, like, my fifth grade textbook and the pictures involved and stuff. And it's weird to think that growing up, you know, future generations will hear about these things, which we just discovered. Literally just this week, the paper came out. We have just discovered a whole new class of celestial explosions that will one day be part of the zeitgeist of what we know about what goes on in the universe.
Unfortunately, any child that I have, it would be very unlikely to be in the classes in high school and college that will teach this info. So it might as well have just not existed.
Literally elementary school was when this I remember learning about this type of supernovas and stuff in textbooks. So I think you're probably right.
Yeah, to be fair, you were raised by a tiger mom, like a series of tiger moms, actually. You were part of you were raised by a tiger mom convent, like a nun convent.
It's like literally could not have less of an accurate representation of the involvement of my parents in my academic life. My parents, who, by the way, on three separate occasions during my life, did not know what grade of school I was in. And only once, when I was in kindergarten, made it to a PTA conference. My entire life, one PTA conference, and the rest of the time, they didn't know what grade I was in.
To our fans, this sounds like a joke, but Bobby's parents were some of the most comically unattached. And, you know, it was cool growing up because you were like, oh, Bobby's parents don't care. Like, yeah. we could be walking in, like, carrying a body that was still bleeding.
Yes. I set off multiple explosions in my garage. Multiple explosions. It was fine.
They were never home.
Yeah. No. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Timothy approach to parenting. I don't know if you're going to adopt this with your kids, but after you have two, you just say, fuck it, and the third one raises himself.
It's a lot of laissez-faire, and I really did appreciate that at the time. It was really good for me. It was a good test. But I got to try and think of, like, the opposite. Like not so much a tiger mom, but like a frightened deer mom that's never around.
like a coelacanth, yeah. Species you wouldn't know existed unless, like, it just jumped onto your boat or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, like alligators where they, like, lay the eggs and leave them.
Hey, I would have traded fucking parenting situations with you in a second.
I got no complaints. Everybody hears that thing and they're like, oh my God, you must be so sad. I'm like, no, it was great. It was fucking great. I built shit in the garage all day and I did my homework on my own volition and it was great times.
Yeah, it was either that or you become the kid from Alpha Dog. Those were like the two, those are the only two paths in front of you.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know that I chose well. I guess maybe I could go back and do it all differently.
Well, invent that time machine, brother.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back to Science Faction 444, where you learned all about how the world died once and might die again, and a brand new discovery of a totally unknown type of giant space explosion. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back this Thursday for Science Faction 445.
Oh, I'm Koala, and this is Cow. And not only are we morning DJs, I'm also your anesthesiologist for this surgery. The cow over here is going to be your surgeon.
I wouldn't talk to him too much, though. He's actually an ifbot.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.